What is going on, everybody? It is episode 124 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. We are extremely disheveled today with all sorts of things going on. You heard laughter. That is my co-host who is here today. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Mary.
Everybody is out of sorts and distracted today with all sorts of stuff going on, and we are doing our best to make sure
meet
that
us
we can,
where we're at.
Yeah,
okay?
That's a good way to put it. Like we've got internet issues. We're doing our best to figure it out as we go. We're gonna stream. We're gonna hope that the stream like stays up, and then if not, we're gonna put the video up. If it goes down, we are gonna figure all this out as we go. So we hope that you will bear with us today. We have a guest host today who just decided to like take a break 2 seconds before we went live. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, everyone. Marketing man extraordinaire Dane Font here. And as you heard, things are distressful, so you know that means I'm here.
Yes. Stress usually means Dane is going to be around.
In fact, it's all Dane's fault.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
You're going to take the blame today?
I'll take it.
You're going to take the blame
today.
We'll
be today. The scapegoat.
Okay. So are you guys excited to try and figure this out today?
Totally.
Either? Yes?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes?
Yes.
Is this like the most exciting thing that you've seen happen while being
in
live
my
on the show? In your lifetime?
Correct. Yeah.
Let's effing go.
We're like, I'm trying to figure it out as we go. And like, everything looks okay. It looks fine. But we're just going to go with it. And if something goes wrong, something goes wrong. But we're going to try and figure it out. So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. We are going to talk about Jason Momoa and Amber Heard. I'd say this is more of like an Amber Heard story than a Jason Momoa story. We're going to talk about it. Lack of chemistry on set. Supposedly, they say. Dave Chappelle, of course, because Dave Chappelle is being pigeonholed as just the mean comedy guy. And Isaiah Lee, who is the man who spoke out, who attacked him, had something to say in an interview with the New York Times, or with the New York Post, excuse me. And then we've got Jurassic Park stars and age gaps in Hollywood, all that stuff. We got Podluck, we got a bunch of stuff. Are you guys ready to go?
We are ready.
Ready to go, Dane?
More or less.
Okay, yeah. That's how I feel.
As ready as we'll ever be.
That's how I feel right now. It's just, you know, we'll go with it and we'll figure it out. All right. Jason Momoa and Amber Heard's lack of chemistry reduced her role in Aquaman 2, her agent says. Now,
I feel like that's just what they have to say.
It kind of makes sense that the agent kind of has to. I mean, but is that better or worse? Like
then the reality, which is that they cut her scenes because she's controversial.
Yeah.
Now,
like one is like that she's controversial for like social reasons. The other one's that she's like bad at her job.
Do you think she's hard to work with?
I don't know.
Sure. I feel like she might be one of those people who is like a nightmare in private relationships, but in her professional relationships, she's tolerable and good humored.
And we don't know necessarily that just because they don't have chemistry doesn't mean that she's hard to work with. I mean, sometimes people just don't have good chemistry on screen. That's not hard to believe. Mm-hmm. But it says Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom stars Jason Momoa. Lack of chemistry with Amber Heard caused her role to be reduced in the upcoming film, Heard's agent claimed on Friday. Heard's agent, Jessica Kovacevic, I'm going to say.
You should know
again,
this.
I should know this one.
We are shaming you. Branthovic.
I am with the last name like Dasovic, I should absolutely know that, but I don't. So virtually testified in the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial on Friday.
Johnny Depp
says she believes that the negative light on her due to the ongoing conflicts with Depp greatly impacted her role. Depp's ex-wife, who was first cast in 2017's Justice League and then made her debut in the Aquaman franchise as Mera. The following year, Heard's agent testified that the star was contracted to make $2 million on the sequel, which was already concluded filming and is set to release in March of 2023. Kovacevic, I want to say Kovacevic, but I don't think it is that, continued her testimony claiming that Warner Brothers' reason for reducing Heard's role was due to a lack of chemistry between her and Jason. She went on to say that Heard received the news of the reduced role as she was reading the script. So
I'm confused by this because wouldn't it be advantageous for her agent to back up her claim?
You would think so, right?
What
and
was
now
her claim?
Is she her role has been reduced because of Johnny Depp. That backs up her countersuit against him. So is she like pissed at her agent right now for like calling her on her BS or what?
So the original question was, is this a power move or not?
Yeah.
So in a way, you can consider it because it's like, no, we chose to be less involved.
Yeah.
Because in that way, you have agency over what was happening.
Yeah.
The other is that, you know, you're so unlikable that this is why it's happening to you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of a PR direction, it isn't the worst I've heard.
I feel like it would be both. I think if if I were a Jason Momoa and my co-star was embroiled in a controversy about being an abusive B-word, I wouldn't have much chemistry with her either.
Yeah, like he almost, it's like you don't want your what's going on in the public to affect mm-hmm. your opinion of them, but it might
like,
be hard
the
not
trial
to.
Wasn't happening while they were filming, but it was already publicly spoken about that this was you know, their relationship was like abusive either direction. It was already being talked about at the time, so it must be uncomfortable for someone to have to work with someone who is so volatile, maybe.
And this isn't the first time I've heard these rumors. Like, this has been something that I've seen articles of in the past, which is why I was surprised that it came out as news now. It's only coming out again because it's being said in trial on mm-hmm. deposition. But I had heard rumors before that they didn't have much on-screen chemistry. But I actually want to ask the question before we move on. Do you think, is it possible that in a lot of ways, bad chemistry in movies is a result of just the culture we live in now and the way things are with men and women
in
society?
If you had real chemistry, then you would get Me Too'd and yeah. Offset?
Or you're scared of, yeah, like, okay, so I had a list here that I thought was really funny from BuzzFeed of all places that lists like a bunch of people that have like poor chemistry with their co-stars.
Ah, Dirty Dancing, famously.
Yes, that's one of the examples of older movies where this happened. Most of the examples on here, at least the ones that I recalled very vividly, are modern movies, and I wonder if it's just the fact that it's like
people are like robotic nowadays, yeah, and they have intimacy coordinators.
Yeah, like if you've got people coordinating every aspect of every interaction in the most pivotal emotional moments in the scene, how can you expect to really develop a connection that is broadcast very well mm-hmm. that comes across on camera, which I can imagine would be very, very difficult.
Like, no, you can't touch that part of her leg. It's stop, like, cut the scene.
You were supposed to touch the top of the kneecap. You went up to at least the top of the calf, and we are going to have to talk to you
Your
after.
Your career is over, sir.
You are done.
That's here to stay. Like, if you guys remember like one of our past conversations, like who should be in the writer's room, yep. at this point, two lawyers, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Just have lawyers do all the acting. Just that way they can just work out the legalities after the fact, and then we can worry about it then.
That'd be an incredible suggestion. Like, I mean, it's probably that way anyway. Just there's a bunch of legal students that didn't make it.
I do like this. Like, one of the movies listed is Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson, which I can imagine. Like, I can't imagine them ever having chemistry ever.
Why would they?
especially in, like, 2022. Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth, famously in the Thor movies, have about as much chemistry as, like, a box of rocks. There's literally nothing there. And then most of the other ones that I've seen here are modern movies.
But the thing is, like, as an actor, you're supposed to be able to work through that and still make it believable.
Yeah. I imagine that because it requires two people that it's harder. Like, maybe one can really pull that off, but the other one can't, and then it bleeds, you know, it feeds into your emotional, like, it's going to come across. You're not going to be able to fake it if you can tell that the other person isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, you can fake it yourself, but as soon as you see that the other person can't, it's going to affect your ability to do so, because you know it won't translate.
Well, the whole thing is that it's not you, right? Like, you're literally everyone but yourself at the moment.
Yep. So you would think, Scarlett Johansson, Mark Ruffalo, Ashton Kutcher. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Scarlett Johansson just went so high up my list of cool people.
Well, I mean, having chemistry with Mark Ruffalo seems like that would actually be really difficult.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be straining on relationships.
I think I remember we watched what was the movie with Ryan Reynolds, the one that was that came out this year? The time travel one. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But Mark Ruffalo plays like his dad, but like back in time, and Jennifer Garner is her is his wife in that movie, and they actually had like fairly decent. Yeah, I can't remember.
I thought that Jennifer Garner was in a movie with Mark Ruffalo before that too. Was it 13 Going on 30?
Yes. Okay. So that maybe that's why. Maybe the chemistry carries over from knowing each other.
Love that movie,
Movies. Somebody in the comments will have to let me know. I can't remember the name, but it was a really wholesome like family movie involving time travel.
You know what's funny about these two is that Amber Heard is probably the girl that, like, you know, one of the girls that pretty much every guy unanimously, like, yeah, she's pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And Jason Momoa is absolutely that for women.
Well, yeah.
And yet, when
put... Oh, my God.
You're gonna rip into me.
Well,
I'm
sorry. You're the first I've heard. And so it's
really?
Funny.
What? Hold. Really?
Please, you're
please
actually
hold.
Mad now?
No, I need to know.
I knew you'd be like, what?
I need to know. We can't fix her. Go on.
But and then you put them in a room together and they're like, nah.
No.
Like, you know, not her. I don't know. It's funny.
Well, when you've got that many options, when you're Jason Momoa and you've got all
both
the options,
of them,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's this,
two people with all the options can't get along.
Yeah, basically, they can't figure it out.
That makes sense.
Did you see the article about Amber Heard stole sexual abuse story? Said former personal assistant.
Wow.
Yes. So it says Sasha Wass, who from Heard's defense team, asked James if Depp had made any influence in the decision of giving the vicious evidence against her client, to which she said very clear, absolutely not. So what she's saying is that it wasn't coerced testimony. It says, can you explain why you take exception to Ms. Heard's allegations against Depp? James answered, and that's because her name is Katie James. I apologize. And I apologize, guys. I'm like trying to do like 9 things at once today, so my reading's even worse than normal. So please bear with me. We are going to figure this out together. So it says, can you explain why you take exception to Ms. Heard's allegations against Depp? James answered, because Ms. Heard referred to a conversation we had about me about me being violently raped at machete point in Brazil, and she used
R-worded.
It as her own story. Oh, sorry, too late now. R-worded. She referred to directly to a violent R-word that occurred to me 26 years ago, and she twisted it into her own story, and she used it for her own use. And then down here says, James also mentioned that Heard would regularly send drunk text messages between the hours of 2 and 4 in the morning on a regular basis, on an almost daily basis. James categorized the messages as being abusive.
Wow.
Yeah, but like if you're a personal assistant and it's like your job to like basically take care of that person's life, like when do you get time to yourself? Like when do you have any time that's yours and just yours, right? Like, and if she's sending those texts and that does to me sound like somebody in chaos, like all the messages late at night, things like that is absolutely somebody who's going through something. But, you know, sometimes people are just broken in a way that allows them to, or doesn't allow them to see that they're affecting the lives of others.
This is sort of a continuation of like the conversation about Amber Heard replaying movie scenes in court.
Yeah.
But just slightly, you know, changing the wording around so that it's not detectable. She's like, replaying the personal story that someone else has told her as if it's the same as a movie.
Which is kind of evil.
That's super
like,
messed up.
That's very yeah. evil, if you ask me. Like, that's freaking weird. Mm-hmm. And it says she
told her assistant's story.
Yeah. That's like to me that's evil. That's like it's like imagine like you hear the story about military vets and stolen valor and the idea of people who claim that they've done something that they haven't done when they haven't experienced that. Imagine that as the survivor of something as traumatic as what happened to her sister.
It's interesting to me that someone who works for her would tell her something that
personal
and like painful. It kind of shows that Amber Heard might be the type of person who makes someone feel very safe and being vulnerable and then lashes out later on them.
I mean, he left his family for her, you know, like clearly there was a point where, you know, things were amicable. Uh-huh. He was like, this is the good choice. This is what.
Also, for the assistant, though, she's also, remember, she was like a spokesperson again for women's domestic violence and stuff like that. So maybe she was in the business or in the process of doing things for those organizations. And thus the story came up with her assistant mm-hmm. who's like, look, this happened to me when I was very young and I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, championing these causes. And then she has to have that like punch in the gut to have it turned around and used against her. And that's to me, that's evil. Like if you ask
if true, I don't if know.
We can't. Yeah, we can't say
we
that
can't
for sure.
Know, but
And also the other thing I thought was really interesting says Johnny Depp gets support from a women's abuse organization. And that seems like almost like the if there was like a symbol that the tide is officially turned completely around the other way, whether for the right reasons or not, we'll never know. But it says, as the defamation trial between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard moves closer to its conclusion, there have been more people getting vocal about which side they believed based on the television proceedings. It is really insane to me that it's like on television.
I still feel like these nonprofits and public figures,
thank you,
don't really care about the truth of the situation. They're just saying what they are expected to say in the situation.
It does.
And it's just disingenuous. I don't like it.
It does feel like a lot of it is like people feel like they're socially able to talk on the topic now.
Yeah.
So they like now from now on for the rest of society, we're going to have to wait for like the consensus to fall on every issue before you decide whether you're allowed to talk on it or not.
Yeah. Like I got the carrot and the stick in the right timing and I'm a good little, you know, slave to the narrative.
I'm a little more black-pilled on this.
How so?
Because I, you know, I've been a big advocate for like the whole the vibes are changing stuff until that one guy that ate too many brunches in New York made vibes lame.
Wait, what?
He went to brunch cafe with his non-binary roommate named Sock.
It's just this video of a guy, hey guys, this is what I do in New York. I get drunk, I do brunch, and then I got drunk and do brunch, and then my head hurts and I do brunch. I don't know. It's like psychosomatic.
I should show you this later.
But sorry. Anyway, so I forgot the point I was gonna make. This brunch guy just like
the vibes ruins. Changing. Vibes changing.
It made you so angry.
Thank you. It did. So the vibes are changing, but like now I just feel that any other man in this situation but Johnny Depp would have been like lit on fire.
Yeah. Well,
like this only worked for him because it was literally Johnny Depp, the guy that was in every woman's poster in their room. And it had to be this cartoonish looking, and she had to look like a Barbie. You know, like all these things had to happen for him. But, you know, I just don't see that your regular Joe Schmo getting a women's abuse group support. Which, honestly, like, that aside, like, props to them. Because these are people that are consistent with their values, and they're being like, hey, this isn't good in any direction. So
the name of the organization is Mission NGO, which is founded by Valeria Altobelli. The international nonprofit organization has released a public statement in support of Depp. Violence is a serious topic, Altobelli said in a statement. As women, as mothers, we have the duty and the responsibility to educate our sons and daughters. That is to say that the future generation, in light of the values of dialogue, respect, and compassion between men and women, without any gender distinction, in order to prevent violence with the weapons of love and education. This is kind of like what I've been looking for like the last couple of years, is like some type of return to like the middle. Meaning like back in the day, they wouldn't single people out by groups to promote, social justice causes. They would talk about general terms, things that all people could get behind, because it's naturally, but now it's naturally divisive just by virtue of the way it's done, singling out specific groups either in or out. So this seems to be a more neutral take on that. And that's really, I think, what most people are looking for, is a sense of finding their way back to the middle and away from a divided, one side is good, one side is bad approach to this.
I see it as a dual economy, and some people are striving to return the economy to like normalcy of, you know, merit and all these things. And there's some other people who have realized that it's kind of a breaking news, clickbait, economy. And those people will say the most obscene, untrue, unfalsifiable things, you know, for that CPM money.
Yep.
I guess we've got both extremes of the black pill, white pill spectrum here.
I'm not
happy to be here.
Wait, am I the white pilled one in this situation? My point was that I would like to see more attention paid to like not singling out groups. I don't really think of that as white pilled, nor do I think of that as something that I think is going to happen on a regular basis. I think this is a very specific case involving a very unique time in our history.
Yeah, it's like we were saying, you're allowed to dunk on Amber Heard, not on other women who have patterns of abusive behavior. You're allowed to support Johnny Depp, not other men who have possibly been victims of domestic abuse.
Get it out of your system now.
Yeah, because you're not allowed after this.
Because your brothers are still going to get it. You know?
Yep. Well, also, they're like, and this is one of those rare cases where so much evidence has come out to show that she was, that maybe that like people just couldn't ignore it any longer.
Like cartoonish is what I'm saying. Like it's so cartoonish. She was literally like, who's gonna believe you, smack? And like that's literally how it had to happen to America's greatest star, you know.
So imagine being Jason Momoa. It's like I like he doesn't know whether he believes her or not, but it's got
to
make it hard for him as an actor to be able to
get
that
out of his perspective on her as Amber Heard.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at her as a character.
Yeah, my queen.
He's
you know?
You got the red hair, you got everything going, but all I see is just
when
no one's going
eyes.
To believe you.
Yeah.
I want to sleep in that pillow later.
Super chat. There was at least one super chat there.
Yes, there was. Someone named Hulls in the Kid said,
I know who that is.
For the spicy Latinxes on this fine Monday afternoon. Thank
one of my
you so
favorite
much.
People in the whole world. Hulls in
That's
the Kid.
That's one person on this stream, and it's not Dane.
I don't know who Dane is. Who's Dane?
Dave.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Oh,
sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, dead named.
Dead. Sorry, buddy.
Get a lawsuit on Tincast Media for that one.
All right. Are you guys ready to talk about Dave Chappelle again?
Sure.
Yeah. We have to be, let's do it.
You have to do it. It's news is news, or at least pop culture news is pop culture news. Dave Chappelle's assailant says he was triggered by offensive jokes. The point of this article, and I read the New York Post interview they did with him, boiled down to, like, I was upset at stuff he said, so violence, I guess.
This guy seems like he is some kind of performance artist, because, like, who unironically uses the word triggering in 2022? This guy I feel like he might be on, like, Dave Chappelle's side almost. Like, is he just faking this whole thing?
I don't mean to mansplain, but I think I got an answer to your question. Guys that non-ironically use bayonets.
That type of guy.
I still can't figure out, like, if the point of the knife was to get it past security, why bring it with a fake gun?
I thought that the point of the replica gun was just to scare Dave Chappelle.
That's, like, what it was?
Yeah, okay, to just make him feel like he was about to die.
So it says, in an exclusive jailhouse interview, Isaiah Lee told the Post that Chappelle should be more sensitive when it comes to the jokes he cracks. When they say that, what they mean is you can't tell jokes at all.
Joke or die.
Else we're going to stab you.
There is no actual, there will be no such thing as jokes. Because when they say that you should be more sensitive, or you should be careful what kind of jokes you tell, there is no distinction there. They just mean all jokes are going to be unacceptable. So it says, I identify as bisexual and I wanted him to know what he said was triggering. I can't believe I have to make this known, but what that means is that he needed him to know, so he used a weapon that he brought in with him. That doesn't make any... Can somebody help me out here? I'm losing my mind here.
I can't, Brett. It all checks out. Like, what's wrong? Like,
is he claiming that this was not premeditated?
Well, that's the thing. He says that later. Yeah, he says later on down, he says he was expecting to have a good time that night. We'll get there. So it says, I identify as bisexual and I wanted him to know that what he said was triggering, Lee said Saturday at the Twin Towers.
Well, you accomplished that.
And says, I wanted him to know that next time he should consider the first running his material by people it could affect. So, again, remember when I talk about, like, joke by committee or writing by committee? They want actual committee approval over everything you do.
You know who this reminds me of?
Who?
Anita Sarkeesian.
Oh, yeah.
hey, you know.
I can't believe
it's been so long since I heard that name.
The threats can stop.
I can't believe
if you hire me.
Yep. Every time a new game's coming out, sure it would be a shame if your game got brigaded by articles that speak negatively of its content.
Ancient history.
Do you feel in control?
You may want to hire me to make sure that nobody comes in and says naughty things or mean things about your video game.
Woke mafia.
It says, I wanted him to know that next time he should consider running his material by people it could affect. Lee said he expected to have, quote, a good time at the May 3rd Netflix as a joke show, but he grew angry and frustrated as Chappelle joked about his prior controversies with the LGBTQ community as well as homelessness. So that might have been even more triggering to him, because remember, there was a thing prior about how he said, like, that gentrification and his mom being displaced from her area was a big issue for her. So perhaps that plays a role in this here.
I just feel this was, like, so clearly premeditated, and he now has a lawyer telling him what to say, so he's finally explaining himself.
I always bring a replica gun with a knife attached to it to things I'm going to expect to have a good time at.
Yeah, like, what? I mean, no, not to say, like, you shouldn't be able to, like, carry a weapon to protect yourself, but this was so, so clearly planned. A planned assassination attempt.
And it wasn't a real, it's not like he had the knife in his pocket. It was a knife, like, taped to a gun that was fake. That's not, you don't bring that in there for fun. You bring that in there because you plan to use it on something.
My favorite thing is that he did it for a consulting job.
What do you mean?
He was like, you know, like, I just wanted to do it so he'd know and consult with people that this joke's offense, you know?
There are people whose whole job it is to inform people who make, like, Netflix originals on ways that their series or movie could possibly offend certain protected groups.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
There are people being paid, like, $80,000 a year to talk about what triggers them.
Yep. sensitivity readers are cultural sensitivity readers.
Yeah.
People who are paid money to like, this could offend this group. This could offend this group.
Like, I swear those people and intimacy coordinators could like vanish off the face of the planet one day, like a rapture, and no one would even notice.
Not a clue.
I can't wait for us to have
just be like, wait, why is TV like so much better all of a sudden?
Yep.
I feel like we should have an intimacy coordinator in our sound checks.
Yeah, that would help.
Deep take.
when we do sound checks now, Dane dryly reads rap lyrics to me in various tones and levels.
Phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. He says, I'm also a single dad and my son is 5, said Lee, 23, who at one point was homeless himself. It's a struggle and I wanted Dave to know it's not a joke. He wanted him to know it's not a joke by trying to stab him. Like I feel like I should be telling jokes here, but there are no jokes.
Not
to tell.
Only is
it's
it a
ridiculous.
Joke, but you're making the joke funnier by being mad about it.
He said his breaking point came when another comedian in the show's lineup made a crude joke about pedophilia, which Lee said dredged up memories of his own molestation as a teen. Like, if you've had these, if you've gone through these traumatic things, if you've been homeless, all these like, and you have a very serious existence, and you have a hard time with humor. Look, I understand that, but. The idea is that as a citizen, as a person with your own, like, you're responsible for your own actions. It's your job to not put yourself into a situation where you're going to react violently to someone who is basically just doing his job. I understand that you may not like what he has to say, but some amount of personal responsibility and account has to be taken here.
Or does it?
Well, we'll have to see.
We'll never know, huh?
We'll never.
I mean, it's sad because this person is clearly just so internally troubled and
very
disconnected from reality that he needed some kind of scapegoat, something to attack that would make sense of like how much hardship he's likely gone through. And
remember, he has like a past like of really liking Chappelle.
Now
like,
that's
music
been
about
like
him.
Exploited by. You know, the snark crowd the, you know, silence is violence crowd to give this person a delusion that what he did was okay.
So you have to be both silent and speak. You have to do both at
you
the same
cannot,
time.
You cannot win.
You can't actually win. You have to do both.
Guys, my favorite person in the whole world is here.
Who's that?
Waffle Sensei.
We love you, Waffle Sensei.
Oh, hello, Waffle Sensei.
Yes.
Can we just tell him that waffles suck and pancakes and French toast are better?
French toast is better than waffles, but waffles are better than pancakes. Sorry.
You're wrong, but that's fine.
I'm a French toast person.
I mean, French toast
above
are the best.
All,
right.
Then waffles, then pancakes.
Then pancakes, then waffles.
Mm-mm. Waffles.
I make no...
You are the tiebreaker.
You need to make a... Brett, you need to make
I
a
feel
choice.
Like
waffles or pancakes, now!
Pancakes.
Damn it!
Sorry.
This is a sexist attack.
This is the hard-hitting podcasting people have been looking for is these types of conversations where we cover the real topics. Like,
thanks, Waffle Sensei.
Yes.
You just divided this.
Anyway, Waffles, I bet you didn't think I'd acknowledge you, but I had to destroy you.
Dave will always acknowledge you. So
he's my best friend. He's my lover. He's a waffle, and he's a sensei.
And Dave, John Mulaney also had his own thing with Dave, and that was surprising to both you and me, because he's normally like good guy Greg.
Right. As I said earlier, which puzzled you greatly, he is a victim of the small beanification of male comedians, which basically just means he is a sweet little cinnamon roll who can do no wrong in the eyes of... girls 18 to 24.
That seems almost impossible to do in comedy and actually be funny.
Cinnamon rolls also better than waffles.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, fine.
We're still talking about
I'm always
foods.
Talking about that, okay. Dude. At some point, I'm going to derail the conversation to Halo. By
Someone
the way,
else also
spoilers.
Said Brett the Frittata.
Yes, that is me. So John Mulaney.
Thank you.
It says John Mulaney.
We could not be more disjointed right now.
We are, like, we're working on it. Guys, we love you for sticking with us today. Like, the vibe has been all over the place, and we're figuring it out.
It.
And we're figuring it out as we go. So it says a lot of people felt ambushed by Dave's presence he opened for John Mulaney. It says, let me see. Yep, disjointed. Especially since he allegedly went on to tell what they characterize as transphobic and homophobic jokes. One thing Chappelle needs to be careful about is he needs to not pigeonhole himself as like a dude who just talks about this.
But he's kind of doing that. And, like, unfortunately, it's working because people are so thirsty and, like, deprived of actually subversive comedy.
Yeah.
That this is what they'll laugh at. And it's, I just don't find it compelling at all. Like, I don't think Dave Chappelle is funny.
He is funny.
I love Chappelle.
I haven't given him a fair shake, but, like, I don't even think stand-up comedy as a whole is in a good state right now.
Well, no. And I mean, in an era where you have to be very, very careful, otherwise somebody will attack you. You have to be very careful if somebody will attack you. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you tell jokes and not have to worry about, maybe this show's wearing flak jackets and bulletproof clothing.
I'm sorry, their buddy gets me every time.
You think it's distracting. It says John Mulaney is a piece of S for not giving a single F about the many trans members of his audience that had to sit through Chappelle's unnecessary transphobic tirades that he called jokes. Can trans people effing breathe to everyone that felt unsafe and laughed at? In today's society, you either can joke about everybody or you can joke about nobody. You have to make a distinction. And there has to be a point where we decide that, yes, you can be laughed at. If I can be laughed at for what I look like, which is perfectly fine, if you can be laughed at for what you look like or what you or who you are, that and that's perfectly fine, then everyone needs to accept that we're going to live in a world where you're not going to be allowed to just accept or expect to be left alone all the time, that you're never going to be the subject of some type of joke or the butt end of something like that. It's going to happen, and you have to learn to accept it.
Some of the most beautiful friendships form from mockery.
Like what? If you guys actually knew like how like ruthless we are like to each other, but like when the cameras are not rolling, it would be 100 times worse, and we would all be in very deep trouble. But
the new framework where every joke has to be categorized as punching up or punching down, the only thing that matters is the perceived like power level of the person telling the joke or the person who's the butt of the joke. You can't take any joke at its face value then.
And, you know, sometimes you can miss the mark with a friend and, like, say something in a joke and actually offend them. And, like, that's part of life, too, you know? Yeah. Like, you can't.
But that's also a personal interaction. And when you're doing stand-up, that's to millions of people.
Right.
So. And remember, that when they tell you to apologize, it's okay to apologize to a person. You should never apologize to large groups. Right. You weren't intending to affect the whole group, obviously. This is what you just mentioned is something I want to talk about, which is the idea of punching up and punching down. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a place for that? Like, I don't like that concept. I don't like the idea that you have to be jailed up or down as to whether you can, because that feels like where society is going, where you have to stay in your lane all the time. You're not allowed to do anything outside of your specific life experience. And I don't think that's a recipe for an actual life worth living.
I think that framework makes a lot more sense when you're talking about a personal interaction, like one-on-one people joking with each other. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can use that language of like punching up or punching down in jokes like that. But when it's a stand-up comedian whose entire profession is to make people laugh, and it's the imbalance of him being one person and his audience being literally millions of people, people who are in the room and outside of the room, you can't apply the same principle.
No, it doesn't work.
By the way, just being literal, is it marginalized that you're like set off to the margins and no one talks about you?
That's a very interesting question.
I mean, that is literally what the word means. Yeah. Yes, so, you're put into the margin.
Correct. So this doesn't, if someone makes a lighthearted joke about you, it doesn't seem like you're being marginalized. It seems like the exact opposite.
It seems like you're being included brought into the fold
as people, as equal partners that can be mocked in a moment of levity.
Yep. It's kind of seems like you infantilize people by pretending like the rules wouldn't apply to them.
This just shows
clip
like
that me.
Yeah.
People are so just socially stunted now. They just don't understand this. Like, do any of these people have like personal friend groups where they joke around with each other, or is it all just like,
take a wild guess, babe, what do you think?
I imagine a lot of these people,
I guess not,
I imagine, like, a lot of them live exclusively online.
If they do have a real friend group, they're all like people who still use Tumblr in this day and age and call themselves small beans and cinnamon rolls.
That's not adulthood, though. I'm sorry.
It's just like...
I think you can make friends online, though.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they don't have real-world experience actually talking and interacting with people in the same way that... Or at least
they don't have to negotiate their personalities with other personalities and backgrounds.
Yeah,
so absolutely. They don't understand what a joke is. It's crazy to me.
Also, I mean, I hate to use this as an excuse, but a lot of people were locked in their homes for a long time for some reason, you know? And like when you come off that and start talking to people again, it's like, whoa, it's kind of difficult. I know my first interaction with people for a year was meeting the, you know, the Tipcast staff. And let me tell you, that was a wild ride.
I'm sure. You just kind of have to.
Now you're socially stunted, just in a different way.
Yeah, I mean.
Socially stunted the other direction now. Yeah. So is there, do you think that Chappelle owes anyone an apology?
Hell no, dude. Hell no. I know that question's not for me, but I'll answer you anyway. No.
No.
Of course not.
It's barely even a question because it's just like, we're normal and we know this.
So what do we do? So what do we do in this situation?
Still make it bank. And if anything, this just helped his publicity anyway. Thank you. The people managing him are very happy about this because it just shows, you know, that he's still making a splash.
I still think the best thing he could do would be to diversify his comedy and not pigeonhole himself as the guy who just criticized. That's what's happening to Ricky Gervais. He's the anti-cancel culture guy.
Like I saw this the tweet yesterday that was like, then I put the bloody Bible in the bloody fiction section of me Barnes and Noble. Like, that's literally Ricky Gervais.
Canceling the own.
Which is why I think he's annoying. I think if you're like one dimensional in either direction, I don't find that funny.
The best thing you could do would be to diversify. Like the beauty should be that you can make fun of everybody. Bill Burr used to do a fairly good job of being able to joke about just about everybody and do it in a way that was tastefully done. What? You don't agree?
No, I'm just gathering money.
Dane is collecting his spoils from today's episode. He's very
getting
enjoyable about
that. Getting
your fair share. Yep. Were there super chats?
Yes, Queen.
Yes, there were. Yesh said, oops.
Oh, yes. Another one of my favorite children.
Just let Mary TikTok. This is what I've been saying.
That's what we've been saying, Mary.
Give me my free speech back. Schmack95 said, okay, so I'm pretty sure the knife on the gun is to split the bullet in half, basically getting two shots out of one. This guy is dangerous.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Okay.
That's terrifying. I thought it was like...
I thought it was a replica gun.
I thought it was a replica gun and the knife was like taped to the side of it.
Thank you. Waffles Sensei says waffles are better. That's what Dave's mom makes me for breakfast.
My mom's an angel, Waffles Sensei. She'd never make pancakes.
Dude.
You must have met my stepmom.
If you want an example of humor where it's like where you think like some of these things could go wrong, me and Nick have he made like a your mom joke to me like right after he had just found out that my mom had passed like a couple years ago, and he didn't think about it, so he makes the joke and then he stops for a few minutes and he goes, Oh crap. And I was like, I laughed anyway. I'm like, dude, like, cause I know that he didn't mean anything by it. So now that's like a thing where he makes those jokes and I know that he's making those jokes cause he's, but you know what I'm saying? Like that's why on a personal level, that's different.
Called by the way, human interaction. Yeah. Folks.
That's just what happened to Waffle Sensei, my dearly departed mother. Rest in peace. When I was 9. So bet you feel like a waffle now, don't you?
Bet we're going to get another groveling apology.
Bet you feel like someone with ridges and holes.
I don't know what that means.
And syrup to fill your emptiness. Listen, me and waffles are tight. Me and waffles are. We've been posting on the internet for like a month now.
Next.
Nathan Koss says, our culture has replaced traditional religion with the religion of the self. When you think of yourself as the end-all be-all and someone slights you, that someone is attacked with the religious zeal of old.
Yeah.
Very true.
And also a lot of it is like they use that as like an excuse to like, when they talk about who's like the people are being harmed and what they always mention is like when Dave Chappelle makes jokes at the expense of a group and then the group, they say like, but this group is so and so more times more likely to experience this. Like this group is more likely to experience violence. This group is more likely to experience prejudice. It's like, that doesn't make the joke any less valid. Like that's an awful stat. That's awful. But that does not mean that the humor does not still have a place in the society. It just means that both can be true. That your joke, which is not always a joke, a lot of times it's just a unique. Thank you.
Thanks.
A lot of time it's a unique observation on society told with a level of grit and a level of callousness that doesn't always have to feel nice, but it's not always, you know, jokes are not always supposed to be the best feeling in the world. They're supposed to remind you of just how good and how bad society can be at a time. And you need that. But the thing is, you need perspective to be able to appreciate that. And a lot of people don't have that perspective anymore.
Sometimes we mock what we love too, you know?
In what way?
Let's say
it's just a level of familiarity that you have with someone that allows you to do that.
Right, like sometimes you have a friend that's particularly effervescent compared to your
ooh,
other.
Nice use of that word. Fantastic. Ooh.
I have a master's degree, I'll have you know. sometimes you have a friend, you know, that's particularly effervescent compared to your other friends, and like you make note of it. It's like, oh, well, so-and-so is happy today because they are, you know.
Yeah.
And you're mocking it, but you're just bringing levity to it, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we like about you in a way.
I just want to. I miss the ability to joke around. I really do. I mean, it's like...
Well, you have that here, at least. It's just not on the internet.
And Ricky Gervais is right about that. He says, like, you can still do it. You just have to be willing
to,
like...
You have to face the consequences. Like, stand for what you said. Yeah. Stop apologizing.
Exactly. Next. There was more. There
yes,
had to be
there
more.
There were. In terms of comedy... Hava Owen says, in terms of comedy, I think everyone is fair game as long as it's a good bit or riff, like Red Bar or Nick Mullen.
Nick Mullen, legend.
One thing that's funny about that is like maybe it's just that the comedy's bad. Like a lot of it is like I was listening to a lot of like Patrice O'Neill this weekend, and it just reminds me how good comedy can be when it's done right. But there just isn't a lot of. I mean, granted, I'm not going out of my way looking up Netflix specials, but or comedy sets. But just in general, when it's done right, it tends to hit better, and there's just less of that now.
There's just so many less people who are willing to speak, you know, from their souls and who they are.
Real human beings.
There's so many Chandler from Friends going around, you know. There's so many Monicas and Rachels and, like, people. They're like people simulacra. There's very rare individuals that you're like, man, you're a gem. I love you.
Have you ever seen the videos of Friends without the laugh track?
Oh my
it's
God.
Terrifying.
Oh, I have,
horrifying.
Yeah.
It's so
and
terrifying.
And that kind of has to, like, make you applaud them for acting so well in those pauses. It's so weird.
Like, it's a whole skill set in and of itself to be able to do that. I could never do
I
that.
I saw it. It's all them just going like, hey!
Pause.
No way! It's okay, good.
We have a couple more. Hava Owens says, edgy comedy is sometimes the best.
I think
so true, but not always.
Is there an example you can give of less edgy comedy that you think is really good?
The Mitch Hedberg, was he
I don't know yeah. how to think of things that aren't memes.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, memetics is really like, how we get things across in society now.
You're like internet Bane. I was born
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
memetics is really there's a couple. I wish I could. It was like somebody reading off the alphabet, and they talk about how you read the first few letters really slowly, like A B C D, and then it groups E D F G all really close together. And it's like to show you how fast it's him. That's the power of memetics, like the ability to convey a message with very little information. And that's why I think the humor is so much more resonant these days. But bringing memes to life, like basically memes now are just what Chappelle used to be for us back in the day, which is like now you read memes to each other. Back in the day, people just shouted out like Chappelle quotes to one another if they wanted to talk about stuff that was funny.
Dude, to your point, people don't even have like the bravery to make a joke anymore. It's always like, is it just me or is blah, blah, blah? Am I
has
right?
anyone else thought blah, blah, blah? Like, the tone of it is so despicable.
And that's the people that like they talk as if they're on Twitter all the time.
Yes.
Like that's not how people in the real world talk. It's a thing.
And I'm so sorry. You're trying
to. Oh, go ahead. Well, you had one more.
We did. Yes. Dooku Dooku said, we stand certain word, Mary. I don't know if I want to say that word on YouTube.
You know what?
We'll leave it off.
Thanks for standing.
Thank you.
I guess.
We're going to move on. We've got more to do, and we ran long with that one. So, okay. All right. So Jurassic Park stars Laura Dern and Sam Neill only now realize their age gap in first film was inappropriate. I've got some questions about this because I think this is kind of fascinating. Like what, like the idea of like what is inappropriate for like legal adults who in these movies, does it involve like because the actors are that far apart does not necessarily mean that the characters
someone much older than herself. People were surprised at it because her age at the time of filming was like 23 and she does not look 23.
No, she doesn't.
And also people were saying it's like the same effect that like people on Cheers were supposed to be like in their 20s and 30s, right?
Oh my gosh. But is that true?
Right?
I don't remember.
But then everyone started talking about it and like sharing pictures of the show. And they were like, are you telling me that these people were supposed to be like my age in the show?
In their own 40s.
And I guess it's just like the way people looked back then was more grown up.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
aging
that seems
faster.
That seems to be a trend.
We have easier lives now, so your skin does not
you
crack
go outside
as fast.
Less when everything's locked down, huh?
There were some advertisers that were like 4 out of 5 doctors recommend these cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know? It was a different world. Yeah.
So it says Laura Dern and Sam Neill have reflected on their inappropriate age gap when filming Steven Spielberg's 1993 dino blockbuster Jurassic Park. Now it's been a very long time since I've seen Jurassic Park, but I'm assuming that she played somebody older.
She played a doctor.
Yes. So it says the pair starred opposite one another as paleobotanist. Is that a real job? I'm assuming.
Paleontologist.
Paleobotanist. That's what it says here. Dr. Ellie Sattler and paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant. So
yes.
I'm assuming that means like paleo, like botanist would mean like plants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm showing my lack of formal education here. It says, however, Dern, who is returning to their sixth film in the franchise, World Dominion, alongside Neil, has said it's only now she realizes just how problematic their age gap was.
I hope she didn't use that exact word.
If you hear the term problematic, just check out. Just you can turn it off. It's going to be filled with drivel.
It sucks hearing people say that word in person.
Yes.
Too.
The pair spoke to the Telegraph ahead of the release of Jurassic Park World. It's called Jurassic World Dominion. I don't think it's called Jurassic Park World Dominion. What?
You know the one, it's our next story you're going to check.
Yeah.
The one that really got me was like, whoa, I didn't even notice. Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was like, oh, they're adorable, right? But mm-hmm. like she's 22 and he was 37. I couldn't even.
Well, I mean, it's like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd doesn't really age. Paul
right.
Rudd just kind of goes backwards. Like I watched Clueless the other weekend. Yes, I did. And he looks not the same, but dang close to the same as he did when Clueless came out.
That
movie's fantastic. If anybody watching has never seen Clueless, please, you're missing an American classic. It really is. Plus, Stacey Dash is super based. She's
yeah,
Fox News contributor.
She's like a huge Trump supporter and like switched for like she's so based that she voted for Romney.
Legendary
like neocon. Like ugh.
Yeah.
Big yikes, as the kids would say.
It was a different time, okay?
It was 2012. The world was different then. We had no
2008.
Idea. 2008. No, she voted right? for Obama in the first term and Romney in the second term.
Okay.
It says, it never occurred to me until I opened a magazine that there was an article called Old Geezers and Gals. People like Harrison Ford and Sean Connery acting with much younger people. The fact of the matter is, in Hollywood, you age into male roles and you age out of female roles, meaning that the men, like they talk about actors who literally grow into their face, where like they're handsome when they're young, but they're going to be really good looking when they hit their 30s and up. And women tend to be very beautiful when they're 18 to 25 and 26. And after that, the roles, the type of roles you're going to get
like
are going to change.
For men, it's not about how they look in the role. It's just about the believability of them being an older character.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I don't think Johnny Depp or Leonardo DiCaprio aged like fine wine. I think they're just now able to take roles where it would be age
appropriate.
Believable, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you see some actors who are very, very clearly too young to play, like, high-powered attorneys right. with and as exactly much experience like, as they supposedly have.
Yeah, Laura Dern was casted as someone who was, like, in her late 20s when she was 23 because mm-hmm. she was believable as that age.
I think my favorite example of a not believable doctor is Denise Richards as a doctor in the movie The World Is Not Enough. It was a James Bond movie. She plays a doctor named Christmas. That's her character's name.
Incredible.
Which means that there's a very hilarious double entendre about Christmas only comes once a year at the end of the movie because it was the it was the 90s. I think that movie came out in 99. Like you said before, it was a different time.
It was.
And buying Denise Richards indeed. As a doctor that's not in a porno is not super believable, but you know, that was the world they lived in then. So it says Dern, who is now 55, and Neil, who is 74, he doesn't look much older either. I mean, I don't know if they de-aged him in the trailer, but he looks dang good for his age, Sam Neill does.
If they did, they wouldn't tell you.
No, they would not. Are not the only... there was a part in here that was really funny, and I missed it. It says, it felt completely appropriate to fall in love with Sam Neill, and it was only now when we returned to it to a moment of cultural awareness about the patriarchy that I was like, wow, we're not the same age. So I want to know, what is the right age?
Pass.
What is the I want to know
we don't want to get into naming specific numbers, but
hard pass.
As far as marriage, it said that the best age difference is like 1 to 3 years, at least from like stuff that I was looking up in studies, like 1 to 3 years
of like successful
marriage. Of successful marriage. Like I'm talking about marriages now. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I just picked out the first few surveys that I had found
I'm
here.
I'm sure you can find studies that say all sorts of conflicting things about that. Really, it's just this is about acting, not the real life success rates of a marriage between people with a certain age gap. Like, this is about playing a character.
But then what makes it inappropriate in the movie if she's 23 and he's...
what was he?
He would have been in his 40s.
She was playing someone in her late 20s, I assume.
The one where it's jarring is Lost in Translation.
What was the... Oh, yeah. Bill Murray
and, like, teeny Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
where it's like, okay, buddy.
And I have that one on here. There are some other ones on here. Entrapment was, like, 29 and 68. That was Catherine Zeta-Jones and Sean Connery.
But I
feel like when you're in your 30s,
Hollywood has a little bit bigger problems to worry about as far as age-appropriate relationships than the things that are on screen.
Well, so my thing is, like, if you're 30 and if both people are 30 and over, it's like who cares?
We're gonna get into talking about grooming, and that term comes up a lot in Hollywood now. People who were groomed in their early 20s, and then I'm like, if you're a legal adult, moved out to California to get a job as an actor. Like, is it grooming because of your age, or is it grooming because of your position, you know, the vulnerability of him having power over you in the role? Like, I would need more information from someone to tell me about that. Like, I don't know how you can define it, but that seems like what they're trying to get at here. What makes it inappropriate?
With a broad brush, and also ignore the real issues and who is actually made a victim in Hollywood.
So what would you say are
those
the real issues?
Will never be heard. I can't exactly get into it on this stream, but I think everyone is kind of picking up what I'm throwing down there.
Picking up. 52, Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson was 18.
That was when, like, it was clearly part of the marketing. It was clearly like, hey, don't you want to see, like, and like, if you know the director of
that
movie.
They put Wolf of Wall Street on that?
Yep.
That's crazy.
I know. 39 and 20 and 23, which is like an age difference, but it's like...
You've seen it. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. It happens.
Part of society.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
What are broken men supposed to do after their wife leaves them, you know?
I mean, that's a trope. That's a trope in and of itself in Hollywood, not just in Hollywood, but in society in general, of just people who, like, you know, they have their midlife crisis and then they leave their wife and they go date a younger woman if they've got the money to afford that. But it's like, how does that, like, jive with, like, what you guys think is, like, acceptable? Like,
I mean, this is a very loaded question, Brett. That's
these are a lot of Margot Robbie.
Yeah, it does seem like Margot Robbie ends up in it.
Well, no, it's just a few, but still.
I truly don't know what to think of this, because this is like, you know, this is truly the case-by-case scenario.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, you can be 57, but not everyone reaches adulthood, if you know what I mean.
Well, they talk about that in some of the other things that I was looking at. We're talking about basically like emotional maturity, relationship maturity. There's different levels of maturity and different types of
relationships. I think people of all ages are less emotionally mature these days. Yeah.
These days, absolutely.
Because we are not like socialized properly.
Nope.
Because of the internet.
So, exactly. So if you're an emotional mature person, and let's say you're 25, just like middle of the young people spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And so like, you know, even if you get like a older guy, like 20 something, 28, 29, he's probably still not emotionally mature if you're emotionally mature. So what do you like? I don't know. You find someone like minded, but there's, I don't know. Firstly, there's just when it gets like a lot over 10, it starts making me uncomfortable. Like 10 even is like a stretch, but like it's all personal and, you know.
What's interesting is in that movie, they talk about how, like, it's a very classic story. Like, she wants to have kids in Jurassic Park. He's not sure. By the end of the first movie, he's like, yeah, maybe we should have kids. Like, that's a very classic story in cinema. Like, the lady's like, look, we should have a family. The guy's like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to settle down. And then they have all the tragic events or everything that happens causes him to reprioritize and realize that maybe it is a good thing to settle down, have kids, start a family. But I don't feel like that story would get told these days. I don't think they would want to tell something like that.
Mm. I'm thinking about it from the other side where... like there's some kind of career driven Mary Sue
nowadays. Nowadays,
yeah, who meets a man that makes her rethink her priorities about that type of thing.
Well, she what?
Do you mean?
But that's not really depicted often in movies.
Well, because she can't. She don't need no man.
Right.
She can. She's got a career.
She's Hulk, and she's an attorney and a girl law. Boss.
Girl boss.
she's a green girl boss.
What was the not to reference Ben Shapiro, but he's like, why? Like, what's the point of like what? Well, he's like, why would you want to give up motherhood so that you can be like a legal assistant or something like that?
Sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah,
actually.
That feels like what it is. It's like they want you to give up the idea of having a family so that you can have like a mediocre job.
So right. You can serve everybody else.
The
and not
miracle
yourself.
Of life. For being a garden variety psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible.
So I don't know if this... does the age gap of those two bother you in this movie?
Like, which one?
Of Laura Dern and Sam Neill. So it's 20 years in the movie. But they don't specify whether it's supposed to be 20 years. They only say that there was a 20-year age difference of them in the real world. Right? So I don't even know if
I'm not totally sure what age their characters were supposed to be, if that even was explicit.
But, I just don't even know if it really matters, like, given
it's just,
the fact that...
we had a slightly less insane society back when this was released, and then nobody thought of it. But now we have to, like, hyper-analyze everything.
It was such a simpler time in
the world.
It
literally was.
It really was.
And I wasn't even there.
I was going to say, you weren't even alive at that time. I mean, like, I was born in 86, so it's like, I experienced
it's
it,
just
but
like,
not...
most of the descent into madness has happened in the last 10 years, which I have had, you know, cognitive function to witness.
I don't even know if it's been 10 years. I would say 5 to 7.
This even is... that, yeah. But it has been like there was part of it happening before anyone realized.
Yeah.
I never seen the movie. I know it's hard to believe, but I've never seen this movie.
That's a shame.
I know. I was very scared to tell you in particular, but I've never seen this movie, so I don't know how their interactions are. I don't know how
they don't even stay together in all three. They end up breaking up in the.
So I don't know how the romance develops. You know, like I think those things are all crucial to saying like if it's, you know, acceptable, unacceptable. Like again, it's like super nuanced and case by case basis. I can't be like 15, no, 10, yes. Like I just can't.
Yeah. Know? For sure. All right. I believe that we are ready for for Podluck, since we don't have a theme song.
Podluck. We are ready.
We are
Podluck.
By the way, I don't think we got that submission. Who promised our Podluck theme?
Slice
submission?
Of lime.
Went back.
Slice
on their
of
word.
Lime.
I mean, called out, bro. Excuse I remember.
Me.
I never forget.
All right, Podluck. Logan Paul will run for U.S. president in 2032 and has a job
You've
for his brother
support.
Jake.
Thank God.
That's yes. I don't know what the slogan
would be. I
don't
even care what party you're running for. I'm with you, Logan Paul.
Independent party. I'm guessing. I don't know who's.
He'll
ticket.
Start his own party.
Yes,
the Logan Paul.
No,
party.
He could join the birthday party, Kanye's party.
The Birthday Party?
Yeah, right? That was the name of that one?
Really?
That
one?
Yeah. It says, YouTuber turned boxer Logan Paul has a 10-year plan all sorted out. His eyes are set at the top job, revealing that he hopes to run for U.S. president in 2032. They says he sat down with the Wall Street Journal to reveal what his plans will be with his social media stardom. I, Logan Paul, will be running for president in 2032, the 27-year-old boxer said. The 2032 election is a decade. It's three U.S. election cycles away. I don't know if we're going to make it there, dude. That's
honestly,
yeah. Think about that.
At this point, we're...
I hope not. At this point, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we can actually make it there, but we're gonna
maybe
do our best.
Maybe whatever semblance of democracy we've got by then, yep. You can participate freely. Thank you.
So it says he's clearly given some thought. Despite all the knocks he's undoubtedly taken to the head during his recent foray into boxing. Now I'm picturing like just an absolute hilarious meme debate where him and KSI are debating each other, and it's like, well, you took all those shots to the head. Do you really expect me to believe your take on foreign policy?
Imagine the State of the Union. Smash the like button.
It's just gonna be full on Idiocracy, where they fight, they box each other.
We're halfway there already.
For the office of president.
Yeah, we're halfway there already. He's clearly given some thought, despite the knocks he's undoubtedly taken to his head during his foray into boxing. The minimum age to run for the U.S. presidency is 35, which puts Paul just within the age bracketed by 2032. Oh, and he has a job in mind for his younger brother, Jake. When asked by the Journal about where Jake fits into his aspirations, Logan immediately replied, Secretary of Defense. Would you hire Jake Paul as the Secretary of Defense?
He's quite a volatile individual, but you know what?
I have Lydia for that. So
it's 2032. No, it's different times then.
I think we should fantasy book his cabinet someday. Like who would he?
Wait, okay. Press secretary ideas.
That was. I thought Jake Paul for press secretary.
I think it needs to be a woman, either Tessa Brooks or Addison Rae.
Okay.
Addison Rae for
or
sure.
Or Tana Mongeau.
Okay.
That would be a good one.
I'm going to, I'll second Addison Rae.
Yeah.
So we'll go Addison
Rae. Cute little
Rae.
Dances like.
They're already doing weird stuff like that with TikTokers.
My fellow Americans, smash that like button, hit that subscribe, Mr. President. This is not a vlog, sir.
Dude, just imagine like he's like
we're going to war.
All his speeches have like little like thumbnails printed out for them that you display before you show them. Yeah,
we're going to war. Gone emotional.
So I think Jake Paul for press secretary personally, but you think Tana Mongeau?
Yeah, Tana Mongeau, Addison Rae. Maybe we can have a few different picks.
Stop trying to steal my job. Obviously, I need to be the minister of propaganda. I mean, press secretary. What?
Well, when we get the
can we have Chet Hanks somewhere in the mix?
Dear God,
what is Chet Hanks?
Finally,
Foreign affairs. Clearly, we need him to propagate
totally.
White Boy Summer to all of the world.
Best relations with Jamaica that we have ever had.
Homeland Security.
I think he should be an envoy to all other countries. It's like he will.
He could be in charge of the FBI.
I don't know about that. I don't want Tom Hanks anywhere close to the FBI. No, thank you. Too late. So as long as we know that, then I think then maybe his brother runs in 2040 or would it be 2036?
It's Paul forever. Their sons are up next.
No, I'm picturing them running against each other in one election.
Incredible. Oh my God.
Yeah, I said like if he has Jake Paul in his cabinet, he will get usurped by Jake because they're known for having brother wars.
They box on the night before.
He'll steal the first lady. Who is Logan Paul dating right now? I don't know, but whoever it is, he's gonna steal the first lady.
Who is how much younger is Jake Paul than Logan? Not by much. A couple years.
I bet Jake Paul's like 24.
Okay. Oh, dang. Then we need to somehow postpone Logan so that Jake Paul is eligible to run in the same election cycle. That way we can have like, and then they can steal the colors of the other two parties. Like, even though they're not running, like Jake Paul can be blue and Logan Paul can be red.
During his second term, we're just going to abandon term limits and we're going to be
yeah,
like,
he's
the
25.
Paul way is the way to go, you know?
So I'm personally team Logan all the way with the Pokemon card and
that picture was swag.
Everyone
knows it.
We were here one day and I was like working on the computer and I was like doing something for a thumbnail and Mary just says, I know, she goes, that picture of Logan Paul with the Pokemon card looked pretty cool.
It was cool.
Like objectively.
I was like, okay.
They're so good at optics.
He looks tough. You know?
Well,
yeah.
he also did WrestleMania, which make him the second pro wrestler to like Donald Trump like worked with the WWE back in the day too with Vince McMahon. So.
I remember that for a haircut.
Yeah,
there's some of the most like we should marketable do that, Brett, you're and like not giving enough people.
Right. Shave our beards.
And that's what we need in politics. Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
All right. feminist protesters interrupt Cannes premiere to highlight feminicide in France. Do you guys actually care about this stuff? Like about protests?
That's what it was about?
That's what this is about. But it's
wait,
like,
there were two different.
Yeah, there was this one and then there was the topless screaming woman crashes Cannes red carpet to protest war crimes. Like, it kind of makes sense. Like you've got like you've got a large audience ahead of you, and the film industry is absolutely all about promoting these types of causes. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I do get the inclination to make jokes about this type of stuff, but if you're looking to make a social message around Hollywood and these people, I think this would be the time to do it. If we have to put up with Hollywood doing it with the Western world to us in their movies, then Hollywood should absolutely take the time to highlight people like this with actual causes that they want to promote. And I think that this getting covered, a lot of people will be tempted to like make jokes about this stuff, but I don't really see that as necessary.
Well, I was expecting you to be pissed off at this because you hate activism so much.
I do. I do. But to me, it's one of those things where it's like it's happening to Hollywood, where it's like Hollywood is always trying to push us agenda driven activism. So having it happen there.
So if you're going to do it, it might as well be right in your face.
Yeah,
is your point?
Yeah, basically.
I'm wondering if these people were actually invited to the event or if they just snuck in.
So it says they were gate crashers for the the topless woman. It says the gate crashers protest comes amidst the ongoing attack on Ukraine by Russia, which invaded the country in late February. I don't want to get into the politics of it. I just wanted to talk about the fact that if they're going to do it, Hollywood are the people to do it to, because
like when I was looking at the pictures of like people just staring at this topless woman, they're in their you know, designer gowns and everything. Yeah. It's like they didn't look scared. They looked curious.
Yeah.
Like they didn't really have a problem with it.
No. It would be worse if they were like, get her out of. Like the thing I find the most annoying in all of these pictures, whether it's the Met Gala, whether it's stuff like this, it's all the photographers and workers who have masks on. And then the celebrities are walking freely, which is very clearly a show of like, mm-hmm. we live in different worlds. You are of a different class than me.
You're the underclass.
And I hate that.
I bet they're all looking for their kente cloths to take a picture next to her. And like, they just got her too quick.
I think that the masks are like an opportunity for some of those employees to not be seen in photos, so that might be one of the reasons.
I thought this was an interesting that doing it there at the red carpet, I think that the celebrities would have no problem with it, guessing that like you know, if they support mm-hmm. these causes, as I'm sure most of them do, as most people with a general sense of well-being don't want people harmed, you know, Hollywood would be the people
to. And even if they disagreed with it, they wouldn't be allowed to say so. So
exactly.
You know.
Mm.
All right. Dane, did you see the Mission Impossible trailer?
I did.
You watch it with me. I said, so it leaked online. Basically, like, what was the joke? It was like, every time something happens like this, there's always subtitles because it leaked. It gets leaked from like another department in another place.
Do you think all leaks are planned?
Most. They are. Like, fact.
You think marketing purposes?
Yeah.
Even music?
It depends case by case again, but like movies, absolutely.
So you think that this, because basically they showed this trailer at CinemaCon like last month, and there was, what's interesting is it could just be my take on it. There was a slightly, guys, if you haven't gone and seen it, it's the trailer for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I am a huge fan of the Mission Impossible movies because they're fun, brainless entertainment. I've seen all of the movies and I don't know the name of any of the characters except for Tom Cruise's character. I only know Ethan Hunt. The rest of them are just, Ving Rhames is just Ving Rhames in that movie. I don't know the name of his character.
Quick aside, there's just like the premise of a leak. Like, what is the premise of a leak? Oh my God, something leaked. You gotta watch it before like they take it down.
Yeah.
So it's the perfect marketing scheme. It's like, you watch it now. Watch it now. Call to action. Leak.
Yeah. So like, and what's interesting is whether it was by design or not, there was something that in the sound design that felt unfinished to me. meaning that the score was done in this really muted and subtle tone. And there was less audio cues for the action moments in the scene that I'm guessing if it was done on purpose, it was done to give like a different type of like a quiet epicness to it. But it came off as unfinished to me. Like there was still audio elements that needed to be dropped into certain parts. It didn't have the same polish that most of the trailers that come out of Hollywood have. So really? if it was on purpose and they actually left that stuff out, that's incredible. Like if they like didn't finish it on purpose and released it that way. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm saying that the trailer did not feel finished in its sound design to me. So if you guys haven't gone and seen it, there's like a bunch of different versions of it, but it is now up on the Paramount website and I do recommend going and seeing it.
Admittedly, like I only watched the first 30 seconds and that's somehow Dave's fault.
Yes.
But like, can you guys try to explain to me the appeal of these action movies?
They're awesome.
Like,
I don't know.
My brain just turns off. I guess that I understand that you're saying that's the point.
It's kind of the beauty of it.
I don't like feeling like a dumb baby.
Well, it's not.
I feel like a dumb man though.
I enjoy
baby man.
No, well, I think a lot of it grown up dumb man.
For men, I think it's for men it's escapist. It's a power fantasy for a lot of men to be able to imagine themselves as the hero of the movie. That is a very common theme in these movies that you're gonna, you know, you imagine yourself as the guy who's gonna save the world from the evil people. So maybe that's why they resonate more for men than they do for women. But for me, I watch them because most of the movies have been devoid of political agenda or any type of messaging, at least not overt, in a way that I can go and enjoy a couple hours at the theater and really have a good time. And in an era where almost everything does have messaging, I find that to be a worthy way of spending my money.
You know, they usually have a story, even if it's like low level, but like the story is like, bad guy does bad things. Stop bad guy, please. Good guy.
I never get the plots in these movies. They move too fast for me. I just feel stupid.
I mean, it's usually stop the bad guy and make a girlfriend along the way.
And even that part's taken out a lot these days.
I need to go back and watch the James Bond films.
Oh, yes. You should absolutely.
What's the best one? I think my favorite's the Casino Royale.
GoldenEye is still my favorite James Bond movie of all time. But that's personal preference. Everyone's got their... I find that most people, like, their preference for James Bond is whoever they grew up with. So if you grew up with Pierce Brosnan, that's who your favorite
Bond
is.
He's my least favorite for some reason.
Really?
I'm such a contrarian. Like, I don't know. I don't like him.
I love Pierce Brosnan.
I love the new guy. The blonde
Craig?
Yeah.
He's not the new guy anymore. He did like four movies. But I think that Brosnan got a bad rap because he could actually do like there was like if you watch some of his middle movies like The World Is Not Enough and Tomorrow Never Dies, there's moments of like quiet anger in there that they don't really work towards or play with. Furthermore in the series, meaning like you'll see a lot of intensity in these standoff scenes, and they could have really gone into that with him kind of the way they went into the more realistic elements with Craig, and they kind of shied away from that in the Pierce Brosnan ones, more towards the camp in certain aspects and the suave nature. And I think that they lost out on not implementing more of those elements. World Is Not Enough, which I mentioned earlier, actually has quite a few moments like that. So if you guys haven't gone back and rewatched The World Is Not Enough, I do actually recommend that one.
GoldenEye is good too.
GoldenEye is my favorite Bond movie of all time.
It's super good
for sure. So yes, I think that will be and that's a year away. So that's the thing is we're gonna go see Top Gun this week, I believe, on Thursday night. Okay. So that will be the plan that night to go see Top Gun. We'll do a review for that after the show.
Cool.
So Dane, thank you so much for coming today.
Hey Brett, happy to be here.
It was a chaotic one today. Like, I'm still of sorts and disoriented, but we made it.
I feel good about it. This is a good convo.
What's funny is, like, we all have, like, different takes on, like, what makes a good show. It's one of the most interesting things.
It's just that yours is always negative and mine's always positive.
And I always have to intimate to people,
no,
I'm like,
not
look,
always.
When I say negative, I'm talking more about my own personal work. I'm not talking about other people because I tend to feel like because I have to lead the conversation, if I don't do well, that it hurts the conversation. So if I fail, the show fails, but that
I just don't
ends up
know
not being...
what you think you did led the conversation astray.
I think it's projecting because my brain is disoriented, so it feels like more of it's come out to see to be seen than it actually
has.
I need
to call someone out. Alex Diaz said Mary somehow fell asleep on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Mary's opinion on action movies can be dismissed. I don't appreciate that. But at the same time, like, you should dismiss my opinions on action movies because I don't pay attention to any of them.
So,
but Multiverse of Madness was not good. Sorry, that's just an objective fact.
Yes. Waffle Sensei says GoldenEye is objectively the best, thus making it not the best. Like, he just ruins everything he touches, so.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Waffle Sensei is right. GoldenEye is the best of the Bond movies. There's this fantastic scene that I want everyone to, as far as like the lighting from that movie goes and the set design, there's this scene at the very beginning where James Bond is walking down the stairs of like the facility. It would be the facility level in the game. And you see him walk down these stairs. The sound design is really quiet. You hear his boots on the metal stairs. And then he walks perfectly into frame where his eyes match up with the crack from a door. And it's the most beautiful cinematography. There's no attention paid to it. It's super subtle, but it's like the reason I geek out is for stuff like that. And they also still use miniatures in that movie. So they weren't like using CGI. They were actually building like miniature sets to do the special effects sequences. So the stuff
such a film student.
The stuff I like is objectively, I understand, is not necessarily the stuff that, you know.
I like the Casino Royale because it just kind of showed how set of a character he really is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, sure, he gets the girl and the car and the whatever, but, like, he never ultimately gets what he really wants, you know? Like, that moment of solace.
That ended up... Here's an object point to the opposite. I like Quantum of Solace, even though the movie makes literally almost no sense and it's shot horribly. I still love it. Even though Dominic Green, the villain from that movie, is literally about as interesting as watching paint dry, for some reason, like a lot of it, I think is like you if you love movies and you watch them a lot, like you tend to associate them with like what's going on in your life at that time. So a lot of my favorite movies are more related to like what was going on in my life at that time and something interesting, or you know, if I'm at a good place, maybe that type of that part of your life kind of bleeds into your opinion of that movie. So if I go back and rewatch, I'm like, wow, that was really bad, but I still like it for some reason. I have no idea why. So
they say that about music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was a super chat.
Taryn Jones says, "Mary, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to watch Mission Impossible 1 and 4. Brett, which Mission Impossible is your favorite?"
1 and hot take, I guess, Ghost Protocol. I liked a lot, but that was because I was reintroduced to the series at that time. A lot of people prefer whatever the last one was with Henry Cavill over that one, but they are objectively pretty much the same movie over and over. Like, there's a really funny, honest trailer where they break down like how they're all basically the same movie over and over and over and over again. But they're fun times at the cinema, and that's what's important.
Everything's a Shakespeare ripoff. If you want to go there, you know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Dane, let them know where they can find you on social media.
Hi, guys. I'd like to take this moment to, instead of saying my social media, to talk about the absolute garbage fire that was the Halo ending, apparently. It's been brought to my attention, because obviously I will never see that drivel, that Master Chief dies and Cortana takes a hold of his body.
Of the suit, yeah.
Incredible.
Do you want to yell, Dane?
I do, Brett.
Do it.
No. Because, you know what?
It's like, what else were you expecting? Like,
I don't know. Like, obviously the worst thing possible, truly.
I mean, you did, like, writhe on the floor a little bit earlier about it.
Literally.
So you got it out of your system, I understand.
I know how some of you edgy boys like to use literally, non-literally. But I literally writhed on the floor in cringe upon hearing this.
It reminds me of the Batwoman trailer where it's like that the Batman suit will be perfect as soon as it fits a woman, except for now it's got to fit Cortana.
Anyway, follow me at Dane Fawn on Twitter and tweet Jeff Probst to put me on Survivor. That's it.
Dane spent the day this morning trying to like talk me into watching an episode of Survivor, to which I vehemently said, no, that's not happening. It's never going to happen. It will never happen. Sorry, bud.
Fine. It's the great social experiment known to man. You're okay to miss it.
I'm fine with missing that. That is absolutely right.
Okay, well.
Mary, tell them where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Instagram and WeChat at Closer Kitty. I also have been churning out some articles lately on the TimCast website, and when I post them, I promote them on Instagram.
Yeah, you've been writing a lot lately.
I have been.
For sure. All right, guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Brett Dasovic. Thank you for bearing with us today with my scatterbrain takes and my desire to keep this all connected and working together. I am not the best at this, but I am figuring it out as we go in days like today where everything's kind of up in the air or a challenge, to say the least. For the show, so it's Monday through Friday right here on YouTube at 3 p.m. We are also on, what are we on? Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Pandora. If you prefer to listen rather than watch, you can still do that over there, but I think you're missing out if you don't participate in the YouTube version of it. At least that's what Mary thinks.
Come hang out with us.
Come chat with me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the experience.
And then we're also on social media, not just me, but the show is on social media. We are on Facebook and TikTok at Pop Culture Crisis, right? Did I get that one right? I had it backwards.
You are right.
Yes. And then we are on Twitter at @popculture_show. And we are on Instagram. Oh, man, I did it all backwards today. I apologize.
We are on Instagram at Pop Culture Crisis Pod.
Say that one more time.
Pop Culture Crisis Pod.
See, it's not as easy as it looks. It's not as easy as it looks. I'm all over
Pop
the place.
Pop Culture Crisis Pod.
Perfect. That is the
Instagram. Go
follow like it. Button,
go follow
that.
It.
That is that
damn
is,
it
that
go
yeah do you want to do the rest of the outro or should we just call it there?
Let's call it.
Okay. All right, guys, so if you got the social medias, you got that everything. We will be back with another episode with Hannah Claire tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.